It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent rodhunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
This just in. Hold on to your seats. Hamas is not disarming as they promised. Whoa! Never saw that one coming. I said it before and I'll say it again. I am grateful that President Trump has been in charge of these negotiations. He operates from a position of strength. He is feared. President Biden said to Iran, the sponsor of October 7th, right on the heels of that if they were planning to take advantage of this situation and bomb Israel, he had just one word of advice: don't. Well, after they got off the floor laughing, they did. But Trump came into office, Trump meant business, Trump took care of Iran, and now he is brokering this latest deal. Can you just imagine President Biden or President Kamala dealing with this volcanic situation? Still, I must say this, even with Trump, we have seen the goalpost moved several times. A year ago, after his successful election, he told Hamas that they had until his inauguration day to return every single hostage, or else all hell was going to break loose. His inauguration day came. They returned two here, three there. They did it piecemeal. Flash forward to the past couple of weeks. Hamas was given a deadline to accept all 20 points of Trump's peace plan put together with Israel and other Middle East countries. The deadline was a Sunday. The Sunday came. The hostages still were not released, but yes, shortly after, they were. The living ones. But the deal also called for the returning of dead hostages. Proper burials are very important to Israel. Hamas knows this. And most important of all, the deal included Hamas disarming and stepping down from power. I'm reading now from the New York Post. This is recent. Hamas carried out mass public executions in Gaza on gruesome video shows as the bloodthirsty terror group desperately seeks to maintain control over the Palestinian enclave and punish those it deems collaborators with Israel. The barbaric reprisal came just hours after President Trump declared the end of an age of terror and death and signed a document enshrining his 20-point peace plan. The graphic footage shows eight badly beaten, blindfolded men kneeling in the street before each is shot dead by Hamas gunmen in front of a cheering crowd. The terror group said, without providing evidence, that the killings targeted criminals and collaborators with Israel, the BBC reported. I was reading to you from the New York Post, and they were getting some other information from the BBC, as they said. Well, of course, in the minds of Hamas, just collaborating with Israel's side at all, or even vocally declaring sympathy for Israel, is enough to bring up criminal charges. But the unrest is not just overseas. It's right here. In major cities like Portland and Chicago, rioters from Antifa are attacking ICE facilities while swinish mayors and governors embolden them, denying that crime is bad in their cities, protecting the murderers and rapists and child molesters and cutthroats while referring to law enforcers as Nazis. Meanwhile, Democrats everywhere try to tell us that Antifa does not actually exist. My friends, let's be clear. The only thing that doesn't actually exist is brains and integrity amongst Democrats. We're in the middle of a government shutdown, which the Democrats are trying to blame on Republicans, but Republicans in the House voted to keep the government open. Republicans in the Senate also voted that way, most of them, the high majority, but they didn't have enough votes to even get the measure on the floor for a general vote. The Democrats are refusing to play ball unless they get their way. They're the minority party, but they want to get their way. This is just an attempt to work against an agenda that Trump and the Republicans ran on and won on. So the party, which claims to be saving democracy, is ignoring democracy. They're always lecturing us about democracy. Well, we had some democracy a year ago when Trump and the Republicans won by a landslide. Now they're working against that. And why? Because they opposed the big, beautiful bill, a bill which eliminated tax on tips. They're always claiming to care about the working class, but a bill which also removed free health care from illegal aliens and stopped funding PBS, our tax dollars going to a lot of liberal propaganda. Did you hear the latest? Democrats in Congress stormed Majority Leader Mike Johnson's office. Now, he wasn't there at the time, but they gathered a feisty little crowd, and when asked by a reporter what right they had to invade the speaker's office, the crowd shouted, "It's not his office! It's the people's office!" Well, that sounds just great. Funny, Democrats didn't see it as the people's office when Trump supporters entered the Capitol on January 6th. Now, some GOP leaders are planning to introduce a rule about Congress not being paid if other government employees are being laid off due to their own politics. Good idea. Very fair. But it won't fly, because Democrats, you see, would be needed to pass that law, too. Now, there is a way to end this, and end this quickly. It can actually be done with ease, but Republicans would need to show some courage. Simple question. Why did keeping the government open pass so easily in the House only to be stalled in the Senate? Because even though the Republicans have a majority in the Senate, it's only a slight majority of 53. To pass something in the Senate, you need 60 votes. Which means, and I hope you're following this, even though Democrats lost the election and lost huge, nothing can get passed without them climbing on board. I know this sounds like insanity. Actually, the word is not insanity. The word is filibuster, a word that should be retired with the Tyrannosaurus Rex. Where is the filibuster found in the Constitution, you ask? Well, right next to the clause about the Supreme Court being able to overturn the other two branches of government. That's where. In other words, nowhere. But there is a law in the Constitution which says Congress can make their own procedural rules. Unfortunately, the Constitution should have added, unless they're stupid rules. What is the filibuster? It's a method put in place to be fair to the minority party and not allow the majority party to pass new legislation too quickly without debate. Now, I'm a big believer in debate, and as a Christian apologist, I have participated in many formal debates. But whereas debate in its own right is good, whereas debate sounds fine in theory, in Congress, it's nothing but a stall tactic. It's a way to say we can't vote until we've had sufficient debate. Well, what if somebody wants to talk all night? It's been done. Not often, but it's been done. What happens is the debate ends when people decide to vote on whether the debate can end. You need 60 votes to end the debate. Are you following this? You don't need 60 votes on the actual vote for the actual bill and the actual law. You need 60 votes to get to the vote. So whereas the GOP could pass legislation without the Democrats with their 53 majority, it's not going to happen, not without turning some Democrats to their side. It gets even better. Sometimes there's little debate. Sometimes there's no debate. The filibuster, for all intents and purposes, has become merely a threat to debate. Although, granted, many of our senators love hearing themselves talk, so debate does still go on, but it doesn't have to. Yes, you heard me correctly. Even though the filibuster is supposed to be about debate, in reality, you don't need to debate. It's just the threat of debate if you don't get your 60 votes. What we need to do is call their bluff. Fine, keep talking. Keep us here for 2 months without vacation. On the other hand, with more than 40 Senate Democrats, they can keep taking turns and keep it going morning till noon if they want to. Now, here's the thing. There is something called the nuclear option. In other words, Congress made this rule. Congress can stop the rule. If the Republicans, who are in the majority, wish, they can take a vote to end the filibuster rule. They could do it like that. So why don't they? Well, the argument goes like this. Yeah, sure, now it would be convenient because we're in power, but the day will come when the Democrats are in charge of the Senate again. Would we want them to do the same thing to us? The theory is, we'll act like gentlemen to assure that they, in turn, will appreciate it and also act like gentlemen. Only one problem. It doesn't really work that way. In the last election, the Democrats claimed that they were going to end the filibuster if they won. And that was just going to be for starters. Then, with all the legislation coming through a simple majority, they were going to make Washington, D.C. a state so that Democrats could automatically pick up another two Democratic senators from a Democrat state. They were also going to pack the Supreme Court, ending the rule of 9 justices, just keep packing it and giving themselves a majority. They would have done this. They would have done this in a heartbeat. They were stopped because they lost the election. And so, Republicans should wise up. Republicans should take advantage of the season and end the filibuster rule. If through a democracy-style election, people are put into power, they ought to be able to pass the legislation they promised to pass. Whenever Democrats win elections, what do we hear? Elections have consequences. But when they lose, we hear, the American people want bipartisanship. No, they don't. They don't want bipartisanship. They want to end stupidity. They want to end downright evil. They want borders. They want criminals prosecuted instead of people like Daniel Penny prosecuted for stopping criminals. They don't want a government which steals their hard-earned money as tax dollars to use it on making mice transgender. They don't want to be compared to Nazis for simply having common sense. They don't want to get arrested for refusing to call Prince Charming Snow White or for saying things like, oh, you want to hear my pronouns? Here they are. Suck eggs. But common sense has little to do with a great constitution that becomes as worthless as toilet paper because the people in power refuse to do what it actually says. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob. Good afternoon. How are you doing this evening?
Doing okay.
Oh, that's fantastic. So I was not able to get to this story last week. I need to play this. So as we know, the governorship is going to be under an election here very, very shortly. And one of the
Can't
highest...
Can't come soon enough, I know, tell you that.
I tell you what. There was a person that was really, really high on the pedestal in terms of running for governor.
Oh, the woman who yelled when somebody was in her shot?
No, sort of. Actually, in this case, I wanted to play the part where she actually ended the interview.
Oh, because she was asked a follow-up question. Yeah, this is great.
So let me go ahead and play this. This is Katie Porter, everybody. Katie Porter.
I have stood on my own 2 feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't
I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative. What is your question?
The question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win? And you're saying, no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can. And what I'm saying to you is that...
Well, to those voters. Okay, so you...
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it. Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with 7 follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered follow-ups.
I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation in which you ask me about every issue on this list. And if every question, you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never had to do this before, ever.
Next time we play here, you need to get some violin music to follow. Oh, my God! A follow-up question? Somebody wants to be the governor, she's asked a follow-up question? Now, I need to say this. Public service announcements. Guys, this lady is single. Because she poured hot potatoes on her husband's head and she has no husband. She's single. How'd you like to come home to that sweetheart
every
night?
Oh my gosh. So first off, as a politician, you need to expect that there are going to be follow-up questions.
Of course you do. But the thing is, Democrats are so used to getting softballs. And I don't think that lady who was interviewing her was even a conservative or from Fox News.
No, she's from CBS News.
CBS, okay. They could never be accused of being on the conservative side.
Not to mention, like she said, she was the last candidate that they had to interview. Every single candidate answered the question.
Well, they're used to softballs, and that's why they hardly put Kamala out before anybody. She refused to go on the Joe Rogan show because she knew it was going to be 3 hours. She can't take 3 hours to explain that she was born in a middle-class family.
That's true. I was just going to say, you know, there's 13 other Democratic candidates running for governorship right now besides Katie Porter. So if all 13 were able to answer these questions and you're having a tough time, good luck.
All 13 of them did the stupidest thing they've ever done in their lives at the same time, it still wouldn't equal her stupidity.
So good luck, Katie Porter. Good luck trying to flame out the flames that you already
have. Don't
let
the door hit you on the way out. Oh, no, that would ruin your shot.
I'm surprised she's even still running or she's still considering running. I think
she
should drop out.
She was doing pretty good in the polls. So this came. Thing is, there's a lot of these videos on her. When this one came out with the CBS News woman, it's bringing up others because people are now coming out of the woodwork, people who've worked with her.
Mm-hmm. And then not to mention, I was going to say too, in terms of the governorship, like I said, oh, the LGBT lady was going to win. But the next day, as soon as I announced that on the air, what happens with my luck? She drops out of the race.
Oh, well, we may be on to something, Brendan. Just make a list of the candidates you don't like, announce that they're going to run, then maybe they'll drop out the next day.
Okay.
We may have some magic here.
Every single Democratic Party candidate, please. All right. Other people in the news I have to play a clip about is, of course, Nancy Pelosi.
Oh,
too.
Nancy, sweetheart.
Did you get, oh, not so much, sweetheart. Did you happen to hear this little
clip? When she told the person to shut up?
Yep. I got to play this one for everybody. So a reporter is coming over to ask her some questions, and let's listen to Nancy Pelosi's response.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Shut up!
Yeah, let her have it, Sylvester. I like Sylvester shut up better than Nancy's.
Nancy sounds like a nails on a chalkboard.
First of all, she's lying through her teeth. It's true he didn't send the National Guard, but finish it, Nancy. The reason he didn't send the National Guard is because he offered the National Guard and was told not to send the National Guard.
Yeah, exactly. And again, this is something that's been bringing up for 5 years straight, Nancy. You're going to have to face the facts at some point. You can't just keep running away from it more and more. It's going to hit you in the face at some point.
And you know what I like the most about Nancy? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing about her or her family, for that matter, because her family.
Oh, yeah, because her family includes Newsom.
What a background, yeah. Let me tell you.
What a pair.
Yeah.
Aunt and nephew.
So we have some news about Nancy Pelosi herself. There is rumors that she might be retiring. Thank goodness for that. But she has not formally announced.
But be careful what you wish for, because this guy that wants to run against her, he's even worse. It's hard to imagine anyone could be worse than her, but it sounds like he may be.
Yeah, we're talking about State Senator Scott Weiner is his name. I've talked about him plenty of times here on the Bob Siegel Show and plenty of other political shows for that matter, too. He is a moderate Democrat from San Francisco, of course. He is expected to announce his campaign this coming week, according to three allies briefed on his plan and granted anonymity to discuss them. He previously said that he would wait until Pelosi retired to run for the seat, but I guess he's getting kind of antsy right now at this point. He'll be facing off against some other people, including, I'm going to mispronounce this name, Chakrabarty, a wealthy former tech executive who previously worked as the chief of staff for, I think, one of your favorite politicians, Miss AOC, Miss Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. As you like to announce, he already announced that he would be running for the seat as well. He has personally spent his own money, specifically, he has announced publicly, $700,000 into his campaign to run for this representative seat. This is ridiculous.
Well, I hope the guy that's getting antsy runs, because it'll be antsy versus Nancy.
That's true. Pelosi spokesperson Ian Krager said that the former speaker is focused on, of course, the number 50. Is it proposition number
50?
Yeah.
He's the one where it looks like you're voting yes, you're really voting no, and it looks like you're voting no, you're really voting yes.
Yeah, something like that. Again, we talked about this last hour on the
by the people that brought you the Winchester Mystery House.
I can't tell you how much I'm against Prop 50, and I cannot tell you how much I hate gerrymandering. I've already made my rant last hour if you want to hear that. I've already ranted on Bob Siegel's show too about this whole proposition. But anyways, there's some other people that are running for Pelosi's seat if she does retire, including her own daughter, Christine Pelosi, is going
to
be running.
Her daughter's going to try to unseat her.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
So that's going
to
be...
I'd love to be a fly on the wall in that house.
City Supervisor Connie Chan, who's the leader of the city's progressive wing, and Jane Kim, a former supervisor and director of the left-leaning California Working Families Party, has already announced that.
Wait, we have wings in California cities that are progressive? What are the non-progressive wings
in California?
I'd sure like to know where one or two of those are.
One other thing, too, is that Weiner has spent the last few years building a shadow campaign to secede her, which has nearly raised $1 million in effort. So even her own city wants her out of there as soon as possible, it sounds like. They don't even care.
But these people that are going to take her place, I don't believe they're going to be much better.
No, not at all. Like, again, so here's some of the things that he has done so far. So he's passed laws to bolster housing construction. Keep in mind, though, these are small homes, not big enough for a family that should really, really afford it in San Francisco. Because what area do you have left in San Francisco to build? What kind of infrastructure do you already have that's already being bolstered already when there's poop all over the ground and there's not enough funding in your infrastructure
it'll
to
just
begin
be a little Lego cubicle for the
hey, by the way,
riffraff.
I just made my house there. There you go, the Lego cubes. That's it. Regulating artificial intelligence models. Once again, Bob.
Regulating them?
Yeah.
So that the AI are so, I'm telling you, I don't activate AI on my computer, but when you do a Google search, they'll still give you the AI answer first.
Yeah.
And so many times it's just plain wrong.
Just so I know, Bob, again, just like Nancy Pelosi, what are some good things you can say about AI? Nothing.
Good things, yeah. Nothing. Exactly. Yeah, I was waiting for the crickets to play.
He also wants to protect rights for LGBTQ people.
No!
Yeah. And lastly, he said he has expanded funding for public transit. Congratulations on that, I guess. But what person's taking public transit these days?
And you know, in New York City, they're talking about free public transit. People, just stop and think. The buses are free. Who's going to be living on the bus 24 hours a day?
Thank you.
The homeless. Mm-hmm. B, the criminals. Mm-hmm. They're just going to be living there. And then, so what law-abiding citizens ever going to take the bus.
Exactly.
So basically it means that instead of having free transportation, law-abiding citizens will have no transportation.
Not to mention, where does most of your funding come from? Public transportation in New York City. So why are you getting rid of one of the biggest funding areas? No wonder businesses want to leave New York.
You know, most apocalyptic science fiction movies over the years have taken place in New York City. Well, we won't have to make those apocalyptic movies anymore after this jerk gets in. And he's going to win. There's no way he can't win. He's going to win as mayor.
Now, apparently, he's also routinely sparred verbally with conservative influencers such as Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and commentator Tucker Carlson over the efforts to expand LGBTQ plus rights. I'm telling you, this guy, if Pelosi does retire, or I think he's got a true chance of winning, honestly. And I'm scared for this country because this guy is only 44 years old. He is young and he's going to be in those seats for about another 40 years, probably, with the support of his city behind him. I'm really, really scared. I would hope that San Francisco opens their eyes and sees how bad the city has been run, but they got to make sure that they're choosing the right candidate. Obviously, Pelosi's a terrible choice. All these guys I've listed are terrible choices, but you're going to have to choose somebody.
Well, fortunately, if they go to the House of Representatives, they're just one vote there. Yeah. So,
His Royal Highness Gavin Newsom.
His Royal Majesty.
Surprise, surprise. He's back in the news.
No!
Hating on Trump, of all people. So we'll go talk about that when we come back.
He probably thanks God every day for Trump because it's the only thing that he thinks gives him headlines.
It's true.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burn down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to be with you. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas. Well, of course, that's our King Newsom update. But when I said say hello to our producer, Brendan Thomas, I thought you were giving yourself a little promotion
I'm giving myself a little royalty treatment. No, I just want to forewarn your listeners. The last two stories I have for you have to do with Newsom. So if you don't want to hear any more Newsom stories, I'm so sorry. Change the channel, I guess, at this point. But
well, King Nebuchadnezzar is in the news.
He always is, it seems like. And I'm getting tired of talking about him. But he's honestly frustrating me so much I need to express my
opinions. I'm just trying
to
work for the American people.
All right, so get this. So Gavin Newsom yesterday has stated that Trump is putting his ego over responsibility.
Oh, this guy wrote the book on ego. What the heck is he? Newsom wrote the book on ego.
Yeah, and this is particularly for the military show out at Camp Pendleton yesterday. Ego? This is about the Marines getting their 250th anniversary celebration. It has nothing to do with Trump. Trump wasn't even at the whole
part. And they've been
part.
Doing it for years. It's never been a problem
yes.
before.
J.D. Vance was the one that was there. The Secretary of Defense
and Hexa
was
there.
Yes,
too.
Exactly. He was there. It has nothing to do with Trump. Gavin Newsom said
he wanted another headline. He needs to be a hero.
Yeah, or at least he needs to be expressed that way.
We need to start playing Mighty Mouse for our new Newsom thing. Here I come to save the day.
Even though he's ruining the whole thing. Gavin Newsom said safety concerns forced the state officials to close portion of the busy Interstate 5 on Saturday. No.
Well, they that ought to endear Californians to their governor closing down the whole I-5.
It didn't close the whole I-5, number one. Number two, they only closed the exit ramps to Camp Pendleton, not the interstate. The interstate was still
open. Oh, I thought
open.
Newsom himself closed down I-5.
No, oh, he has no authority over
I
that.
I thought he closed down I-5 as a precaution. All
no,
right.
California Highway Patrol have authority to do so. So therefore, they stated that they were only going to close
okay,
the ramps.
Okay, so his concern was he just thought the guns were dangerous. See, I thought he closed I-5 because he thought the guns being fired were dangerous.
No, it was ridiculous. And this is his public quote about the whole situation. The president is putting his ego over responsibility with this disregard for public safety.
Oh, says the guy who just watched California in the South burn down.
Yeah, exactly.
Disregard for public safety. Mm-hmm. Turning off the water for global warming.
Firing live rounds over a busy highway isn't just wrong, it's dangerous. Using our military to intimidate people you disagree with isn't strength, it's reckless. It's disrespectful, and it's beneath the office he holds. Has he not learned in our military? Remember the Great White Fleet? We were sailing across the ocean to show how powerful our ships are, and it was a bit of camaraderie for our patriotic country. But no, he's totally against that. That's a waste of tax dollars to do that.
In the dictionary, under the term moron, there's a picture and it says, "See him."
Also on X, Newsom had condemned the event, saying it was an absurd show of force and totally uncalled for. What would he want? What would he want to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our U.S. Marine Corps? Honestly.
Which, by the way, is the real No King celebration because yes. We got the King George and the British the heck out of here.
Right, right. Thanks to
that
our
Marine. That was the real No King celebration.
Thank you. U.S. Marine officials said that there was nothing unsafe about the exercise at Camp Pendleton and that it was unnecessary to disrupt the traffic on Interstate 5, the main highway, of course, between San Diego and Los Angeles and the Pacific Coast there. The California Highway Patrol said in a state that the military event involved live ammunition being discharged by the federal government, and they made the call to temporarily close the portions of the freeway due to the safety risks and distractions. They made it specifically. And again, just the ramps, I want to point that out. There were still people traveling on Interstate 5, and there was
still
an
opening. I saw some pictures, and it looked pretty backed up.
It was backed up, yes, and it was supposed to be for 2 hours. Yes, that is true. But again, there was still a portion where they were able to travel through to get through if they needed to. Of course, Vice President J.D. Vance, who was a former enlisted Marine himself who served in Iraq, spoke at the event that was attended by thousands of Marines, sailors, veterans, and families. And of course, we also talked about Hegseth being there too, who delivered remarks. I also want to point out that earlier in October, the Navy hosted the president at Norfolk, specifically, on an aircraft carrier off the coast of Virginia to celebrate the same military anniversary for the Navy. And Newsom criticized that event, saying it was less of a celebration and more of a political rally for President Trump. There's no winning with this
guy. The guy doesn't really have any standard he believes in. He has no moral compass. He just cares about himself. Everything he says is politically motivated. And right now, the only cards Democrats have to play is I'm against Trump.
Yeah.
If Trump's against cancer, I'm for cancer.
Jeez. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Democrats would say such a thing if
no,
that was
the
case.
No, they'd say cancer's a living organism. Who are we to judge?
Right. And again, let me point out too that if Newsom was president, I really want to know, what's your idea? How would you celebrate the Naval birthday? How would you celebrate the Marines? Just signing a letter
well,
and that's it?
First of all, he'd go back and repeat some of of the things Trump did. He put the LGBTQ back in there. He'd get them to learn their pronouns again. That's how he'd celebrate the military.
Again, this is about showing patriotism, showing how much we appreciate our military. And he's going against
that? He wouldn't know
that?
Patriotism from Campbell's alphabet soup.
In a statement to the New York Times, a spokesperson for Vance, William Martin, said Newsom was misleading the public about the public safety for Saturday's event. He said it was a routine training and, quote, if Gavin Newsom wants to oppose the training exercises that ensure our armed forces are the deadliest and most lethal fighting force in the world, then he can go right ahead. Thank you, Martin. Thank you so much for actually putting words in our mouth for that one. I couldn't agree more. And then this is, again, the travel that was on the interstate was delayed by 2 hours. And again, in a public statement, the exits towards Camp Pendleton were closed, not the actual highway itself. So again, there was no safety risks. There was nothing wrong with what the military was doing in the first place. Newsom was whining and complaining.
Of course, if it backed up, there must have been a heck of a lot of people that wanted to exit.
That's true. To go to Pendleton, for that matter, yeah. But nevertheless, again,
wanted to go watch the exercise, Newsom's protests notwithstanding.
That's true. Did you hear the No King protest in New York? It only lasted 1 hour before the whole thing.
Yeah, I heard. A lot of these people are just hired. They should call it the George Soros protest. And they're hired by the Communist Party.
Yes.
The American Atheist Society is another person on their bill.
Yes, exactly. Again, Dave Stahl mentioned it. There's a logo literally there. If you look on the background of that logo or the background of that specific people that made that logo, it's again from the Communist parties, like you said, too.
And see, here's where it's really interesting, because they say, well, anybody has a right to protest. There's freedom of speech. But if your speech, such as the Communist Manifesto and what they stand for, if that speech is against our Constitution by definition, and then with the other side of their mouth, they claim the First Amendment of our Constitution to allow them to speak, I think something's wrong with that picture and it should be reevaluated.
I agree. And then going back to the situation with Newsom, I agree with you 100%. If Trump said he was supporting some kind of Democratic, or at least all people would agree to support it.
I've said this before. Trump should make a list of everything he wants to do, publicly endorse the opposite, and then the Democrats will rush to do everything he really wants
exactly.
to do.
They did this during his State of the Union address. He was supporting a cancer survivor.
I know.
And all Democrats.
Couldn't even stand up for
all
him.
Democrats just sat down and
there were the parents of people that were murdered by illegal aliens, and they couldn't even stand up for them.
Where is the moral in Democrats, honestly?
Where's
the morality?
None. It's all politically motivated. Yeah. They don't have any card to play other than we're against Trump.
Yeah, but now Trump, I can't believe I'm going to say this, Trump's literally playing with the full hands on deck. You know how much I hated that saying when he kept repeating it over and over.
Trump's earlier, using his Trump card.
It's Trump card. But nevertheless, he's literally playing, he's got the advantage here.
Oh, he plays them like a fine violin.
Dave Stahl said it correctly in the last hour. He said, honestly, if the Democrats want to come back and reopen the government, he should just file and say, no, you made this mess, you got to deal with it, you got to squander
well,
it.
Well, he's having a great time, because apparently when the government's closed down, he has discretion as president to start firing people permanently.
Yeah.
And they don't even have to be rehired. Although, of course, some judge is going to say that's unconstitutional and
possibly
order him to rehire them. We all see, that's where the real kings are. It's the judges who haven't learned that they are not the kings of our country. If we want to have a real No Kings Day, those are the kings to protest.
It's true. I did talk about this last week. There was a comment made by Trump saying that not all federal workers are going to get their back pay. And then immediately Speaker of the House, Johnson, went against it. Said, no, he didn't mean that. People are going to get their back pay.
One of the faults of Trump, and it's also something that's endearing about him, he talks without a filter. Mm-hmm. And that makes him very much a non-politician, and that's what I like about him. But the other side of it is he'll say anything, and yeah, we can't always take it all seriously. So
it's true.
Got to be mindful of that.
Again, I'll say things that are very emotionally irrational, for sure, in my personal life.
We all do that. It's just that we don't expect a president of the United States to. But I find that very refreshing.
I get it. But of course, mainstream media doesn't. I mean, did you see yesterday when he was talking about the Venezuelan president?
And he kept using the F word.
Yeah, and they were like, "Oh, how dare he?"
Now, I don't like the F word, even in a movie. I think a lot of times it's overdone. But again, the very fact that you don't expect a president to talk that way and it's not presidential, there is something refreshing about it.
I will say, for me too, it just adds the more aggressiveness and seriousness that he takes about certain political issues.
I'm not saying I like the aggressiveness. I wish he'd find a better word. But again, I like the fact that he's ignoring all the people that are trying to script him and say, you can't say this or you'll offend him. You can't say that or you'll offend her.
Not to mention, there's no talking points in general. And I know there wouldn't be in the first place.
He's the only guy that when the teleprompter breaks down, he's delighted, because now he can ignore it and just say whatever the heck he wants. Whereas when Obama's teleprompter breaks down, he starts using words like Navy corpsman. And O'Biden says, open envelope, read name of next reporter.
Or he'll say, wait, what was that word again?
I remember that debate. Trump says, I have no idea what he was saying at the end there, and I don't think he does either.
Well, I do have one more story about Newsom, like I said. So we're going to go take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll talk about stupid bill that, thank goodness, Newsom vetoed.
That Gavin Corner continues on The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
To 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Stay tuned for one more segment with Brendan Thomas.
With Brendan Thomas and, of course, Gavin Newsom again.
And, of course, good old Gavin King Newsom.
This is the Gavin Newsom corner tonight, apparently. Newsom has vetoed a bill that would have granted priority college admission for descendants of slavery. Legal experts were divided on whether the law would survive in court challenges, with some calling it unconstitutional racial proxy. That's what exactly this is when I go into detail. This measure, rejected by the governor, avoided mentioning race directly, instead focusing on ancestry, but critics argued it was designed to circumvent affirmative action bans. Newsom commented on the vetoing the bill, stating, these institutions already have the authority to determine whether to provide admissions preferences like this one, and accordingly, this bill is unnecessary. So that's his point of view on this whole thing. Not the fact that it's already unconstitutional to DEI or to do affirmative actions on whether you put students through college or not.
So. Well, here's one time where the fact that he wants to work for president is to our advantage. Mm-hmm. Because when he wants to run for president and he knows something idiotic he does as governor is going to come back to haunt him, he might make a more nuanced decision as governor. He hasn't done it often.
No.
But there have been a few times he's refused to sign really bad bills.
Yes.
And not only would it haunt him by other candidates bringing up, he'd hear from all kinds of conservative African Americans.
It's true.
About how horrible this is. I think of Larry Elder.
Okay.
The great radio talk show host who is African American. This is his definition of reparations, Larry Elder. Reparations, money paid to people who never were slaves by people who never owned slaves. That just says it all.
Yeah, basically, for sure. This legislation would not have required applicants to belong to any particular race or ethnicity, a crucial detail that proponents said distinguish it for affirmative action, which is banned in California colleges. They argued that this term slave was used as a proxy for race. Proposition 209, which was approved 30 years ago, amended the state constitution to bar colleges from considering race, sex, or national origin or ethnicity during admissions. The U.S. Supreme Court in 2023, in effect, ended racial college admissions nationwide, ruling in Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard that such policies violate the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. So again, thank you for that, getting rid of that whole situation. And thank you to Trump for getting rid of DEIs for that matter, too, on that matter. The vetoed bill would have also assisted descendants of slaves for some state programs. The bill would have required licensing boards within the Department of Consumer Affairs to expedite applications for people who are descendants, and a bill to set aside funds from a state program providing financial assistance for first-time homebuyers. Which, by the way, I looked into that program. That thing would barely give you any money in the first place, because what state funding are you getting this from? We don't have anything. Our debt in this country is extreme. You even mentioned this, Newsom, last time when you were on the podium saying our debt's going to rise, but it's all Trump's fault for having it rise. It's always that way.
And isn't it interesting that the same people who are so concerned about the slavery that we had a little less than 2,000 years ago don't do anything about the slavery going on right now with the cartel and the open slave market?
It's true.
Human trafficking.
Yeah, I do want to point this out too, that Newsom and state lawmakers passed a law to create a first in the nation task force to study and propose effective ways to help atone the legacy of slavery. So we're actually wasting our tax dollars.
Start atoning
on
for the slavery that already exists in our country.
Thank you.
And the slavery in Muslim countries all over the world. Then maybe you'll have some credibility to talk about the slavery from 200 years ago.
And again, the panel itself spent years, and they finally put out in public a 1,080-page report on the effects of slavery and discriminatory policies.
I could save you the 180,000 pages. Slavery was wrong.
That's it.
But we don't have it anymore. We haven't had it for a long time. There you go.
Look
at all the money I just saved.
Yeah, thank you. And again, they've spent so many years on this. They made an actual group of people to help make this thing, to say, oh, slavery was bad in the end. I don't get it. Why are we wasting on this?
Next year, they'll tell us that murder is wrong. We just want to come out and say qualitatively, murder is wrong. It's very, very wrong.
A murder task force. Oh,
yeah,
man.
A murder task force.
Thank you.
And stealing. We are against stealing. We will just say that unequivocally.
Last week, Newsom signed a Senate bill which created a new office called the Bureau for Descendants of American Slavery, for goodness sake.
Oh, so he did go along with that.
He went with that.
Okay.
Yeah. So this bureau is created to process.
So he only gets it right once every 50.
Yeah.
Well, you know, give a monkey a typewriter. Sooner or later, he types a word.
This is coming from Assemblymember Isaac Bryan, who is a Democrat from Los Angeles. He introduced the bill. He said, quote, that his legislation would have allowed colleges to grant preference to the descendants of enslaved people in order to rectify a legacy of exclusion of harm, he said, end quote.
Problem is, not every person of African-American descent can even prove that they're descendants of slaves. Many of them were, of course, but not everybody.
And I do want to point this last comment out, because this guy, when I read his comments about this bill, I was like, what are you on, dude? I don't get what you're talking about. So Gary Oldfield, he's a law and education professor and co-founder of the Civil Rights Project at UCLA, agreed that the legislation was carefully written in a way that could have withstood legal challenges, apparently. He pointed out that California allows university programs that support Native American students because they are narrowly tailored to focus on tribal affiliation, which is considered a political classification instead of race or ethnicity, he said. He's comparing slavery, black people specifically, to Native Americans and their mistreatment too. What is he going about? He said, end quote, all black people weren't slaves and all slaves were not black. I think there is a good argument to say that slavery isn't defined strictly by race. It is not just a proxy for race. And there certainly is a legitimate concern when you're thinking about
remediation. And there were white people that were slaves in our country too. You never hear that, but good luck any white person trying to make that claim on
college. Otherwise you would be known as a racist, or you don't know what you're talking about. You have white privilege in this country.
Good luck on that one.
So either way, it was a lose-lose situation for white people in that situation, I guess. But nevertheless, I am glad Newsom vetoed this. And yes, I do agree with you. This is all just because, again, we're talking about 2028's election.
I'm amazed he's not doing it more often, because like you said, he went ahead and approved that stupid task force. But
yes,
thank goodness that at least once in a while he's saying, this will just kill me in the general election, because it makes him a slightly less dangerous government, ever so slightly.
Like you said, once in a full moon, he'll do this. We talked about, I want to say, 6 months ago or so, he didn't pass a transgender bill into the
But he's reversing himself on that. Remember, he had Charlie Kirk on his podcast, and he admitted in front of Kirk that men and women's sports was unfair. He's just gone back on that. There's some other bill that he's trying to push through right now.
No, well, in this case, it was supposed to be like in the court system, when a child is in the middle of a custody battle, the child doesn't have to say what his gender was in the situation. And he was saying, why does it matter in this case? That information's not part of the whole court case. The whole court case should factor on what parent is responsible enough more to hold the child. Should it be a 50-50 custody, 75-20, that sort of thing, which is what it should be. The gender of the child shouldn't matter in this case, for sure. So like you said, once in a blue moon, he does come out with something. But again, we could smell it from a mile away why he's doing it in the first place. So anyways, Bob, thank you so much for this time with you and this discussion. And again, thank you for joining us.
When you talk about him influenced by the moon, I think of the werewolf and oiled, slicked back hair on a werewolf. Try to get that look out of your mind.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.